Such a cheery topic for the morning.
I know. You know, I shouldn't write these things late at night. I shouldn't come up with these ideas when I've just been exhausted from a weekend and the internet has gone out. So, all right. You want to come up with something different or you want to run with this?
No, I was just teasing you.
All right. Well, for better or for worse, talk to me about an early failure that I was about to say scarred, that left you scarred, but I think the word here is scared. Talk to me about an early failure that left you scared to try new things.
Well, I think scared and scarred are both quite appropriate. And it's so funny how we have these memories that are these overarching memories. And when I think about, this is in third grade, you know, so this is so long ago, but I was in third grade and I had a gaggle of friends and I was trying to lead/boss my group into creating a skit for our classroom. And at one point, everybody looked at each other and walked out on me. Every girl in the group left. What I should have learned from it is don't be so bossy, because I was being really bossy. I remember that way. What I took away from it is people don't like me. And, you know, that was, I feel pitiful even saying it, but it was this formative thing that made me very tentative about being myself in groups like that. One-on-one, not so much, but in groups for sure. I kind of learned to shut down. How about you?
Oh, well, I had something kind of similar happen in sixth grade. I went to a little Christian elementary school and I volunteered to give worship one day and my mom helped me prepare. And I just remember it had something to do with puppets. And then there were discussion questions and I was so excited about leading this class discussion. And the only problem is when I had finished my little presentation and started asking questions, all of my classmates were silent, like this awkward silence descended over the classroom. And I mean, like there weren't even crickets chirping. It was so silent. And I didn't know what to do. Like I was totally unprepared. It was the one thing I hadn't, I wasn't ready for. And I ended up in the girls' bathroom crying, which just made things worse. I mean, that's even more awkward when your male teacher is in the girls' bathroom trying to coax you out of a stall. And
sorry
saying,
to
that
laugh.
That was so good. That was so good. And I'm like, no, it couldn't have been. They wouldn't talk to me.
They hate me. Well, and when I reflected on my episode and like yours, I could think of episodes in different settings throughout my life that were similar to that. Wow. But I took away the wrong takeaway every single time. And we have a listener who said something very similar. She said, my biggest struggle is the feeling of not measuring up, of not being enough, and fear of failing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just shut me down so many times. It's definitely something we have to learn to conquer.
Well, I'm Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're talking to Tricia Goyer, author of Walk It Out, The Radical Result of Living God's Word One Step at a Time. Tricia Goyer is the author of more than 60 books, homeschooling mom of 10, grandmother of 4, and wife to John. She is the founder of Hope Pregnancy Center and leads a teen moms group.
Tricia is here to share what can happen to our fears when we read God's word and actually do what it says.
So, Tricia, most of your books have been novels. And so what prompted you to write Walk It Out, which is a nonfiction book?
It came to when I was talking to a friend and we were sharing about just the things that God had been doing in my life recently. We hadn't seen each other in a few years. And in that time, we'd adopted kids and were serving in inner city teen moms group. And so really just sharing about that. And she just started asking me good questions like, what made you, you know that you're supposed to adopt or that you're supposed to work in the inner city? And it really came down to those times where I was sitting with my Bible, talking to God, pouring my heart out to him, and then just being willing to say, God, what are you asking me to do? And it's not these moments of the harp music is playing in the background, but really wrestling with God and saying, God, are you asking me to do something? Because this scripture will not leave my mind. And it's those moments of really wrestling with him and talking to my husband. And as I started sharing, just through my life, I could see these points where God just through his word, just spoke to my heart. And it came to that moment where we had to either say, John and I either had to say, yes, we're going to follow you, or no, you know, we are fearful to take those steps. And so as I was sharing it with my friend, she's like, that is a book. You need to write it. And the book is Walk It Out. And it was just like that moment where, like, I think you're right. It was just like great conversation of really just pouring out what's in my heart, which is what ended up in the pages of the book.
Wow. And what a friend who gave you a great title too.
Exactly.
One of the things you say in your book is you talk about your first novels and being glad that those were never published. What was wrong with some of that early writing that you did? Something missing from those early manuscripts?
Absolutely. When I first started writing, there was so much of my past that I was still hiding. So I had been a teen mom, and I had an abortion when I was 15, and then I got pregnant again, had a baby when I was 17. And for so many years, I just tried to go on and do the good Christian life. I had married, and my husband adopted my first son, and then we had two more, and I was going to church and teaching Sunday school and kind of going through the motions and didn't want to ever bring up. I mean, my friends knew that I had been a teen mom because they could add up, like, how old I was and how old my son was, but even my closest friends hadn't known about my abortion. And once I really went to a Bible study, a post-abortion Bible study, and found healing in Christ and was able to let him work in those deepest parts of my heart, then that started coming out in my writing too. So I think that was part of the process of when we write, it's not just the story, but it's what's inside us and what we can get on the page. And so my first novel is about a Nazi officer's wife, based on a true story, who'd been abandoned by her husband in her pregnancy and ended up caring for Holocaust survivors. And so my friend that went to the Bible study with me at that time, she goes, it's like your book or your story in the pages of the book. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is a Nazi officer's wife. She's like, thinking the themes of abandonment and finding forgiveness and pouring yourself out to others in the places where you've been hurt. She goes, that's all in your novel. And I'm like, oh, I guess you're right. So it does do have to kind of dig deeper than I think we ever think we need to, because it's fiction. We think, oh, this is just made up stories. But really, God wants us to go and dig into our hearts for that.
One of the things that you said specifically that just really struck home, sometimes we must pause and allow Jesus to speak to us about the pain in our hearts before we proceed, and other times we need to journey forward before the healing is complete. Wholeness doesn't mean perfection. Mm-hmm. And that just really hit home. You probably know that many of our listeners are reforming perfectionists. So what do you mean by wholeness doesn't mean perfection? How are those two concepts different?
You know, I think so many times, especially when I was trying to live this perfect life, I was trying to do everything right. I tried to have the perfect home, the perfect family, and I was coming up short because it was all on me and all on my own strength, and trying to put on this mask that I am wearing for other people, which I'm still feeling like I'm not measuring up. I need to do more. I need to be thinner. I need to do all these things. And God was saying, forget about the mask. Forget about trying to be perfect. I have places in you that I want to bring wholeness to you and bring it to your life and to peel back those layers. And I think my greatest moments of wholeness is where I'm sharing my weaknesses and when I'm sharing where I can't have my act together and I can't do things in my own strength. And in my weakness, God is able to come in and bring in his strength and bring in his wholeness into my life. And that has made a huge difference in my ministry, but even in my life. Everything that I do now, it's, you know, I can't be perfect. I have all these kids in the house. We can never have the perfect home. My writing's never perfect. But if I'm there and I'm showing up and God is there with me, that's exactly where I need to be.
One of the ways that we find in our own lives and our audience's lives that perfectionism manifests is busyness. And in Walk It Out, you share an absolute genius strategy that your husband used to help you clear your calendar. So we want to know two things. Why did you need to clear your calendar, and how did you do it?
Yeah, it was during the season of my life when I thought, okay, this is how a good family lives. And so we had our kids my son was in T-ball, my daughter was in ballet, I was serving in church, I was cooking for the Wednesday night supper, I was teaching a Sunday school class, volunteering in children's church. I mean, it was just all the things that we think we need to do in our lives. And I was completely overwhelmed, stressed out, cranky, yelling at my kids. They were unhappy. And I remember one day my husband came home from work and he said, I walk in the door. I had just gotten there 5 minutes before him. I dumped the grocery bags on the floor and if groceries are spilling out, I'm like, I cannot do this. And I'm crying and this is too much for me. And he says, I think we need to look at the schedule. And so then after dinner, he said, we need to write down everything that you are doing in a week. And I said, we don't have enough paper to write down everything we are doing in a week. He goes, no, we really have to. And I don't even know where he came up with the strategy, but it really helped. And so we wrote down everything from folding laundry to feeding the kids to, you know, homeschooling them, all the activities. And we wrote everything down. He goes, okay, we need to separate these between 1 and 4. Ones are the things we have to do. We have to feed the children every day. 2s are the things we should do sometime during the week, which we should do laundry sometime. Our kids need to bathe at least, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. So those were 2s. 3 were things that I was doing and enjoying, but we didn't know if it was the right season. So they weren't bad things, but they were things, you know, like Bible study that I was doing. And then 4s were things that we were doing because I didn't want to say no to someone. I felt guilty because all the other women were doing it. Or it's something that I thought we should be doing, like t-ball and ballet. And so the 4s, there was a lot of lists. So t-ball was on there, ballet was on there, because my kids really didn't enjoy it. And that's the other part. My son in t-ball, he was 7 at the time. He would sit in the outfield and pick grass. Like, he did, like, do I have to go to practice today? My daughter, and we were doing other kids' activities too, but those are the 2 that really stand out. We would drive 45 minutes to her class, and then she would run laps around the room, the dance room, while the other girls are doing their little moves and stuff. So obviously she was not into it. So t-ball went, ballet went, leading a Bible study. It just wasn't the right season. I just didn't want to say no to someone. Cooking out our Wednesday night supper went, helping volunteer the church. And pretty soon I had huge white spaces in my life. And it was just like, I could breathe again. And I realized I didn't miss any of those things once they were gone. I did miss Bible study, but just homeschooling the kids, it wasn't the right season. And I've done other Bible studies at different times, which I love. And I still study my Bible at home, but just makes me realize that we think we have to do it all, and we have to do it all in the season that we're in. And later, my son played basketball, which he loved a lot better. My daughter took piano, and she leads worship in a church. So just because something's a good thing doesn't mean it's right for us or for our kids.
That's so insightful. And I'm just thinking about, even with kids and with the parenting, how insightful it was that you were watching for, it sounds like you started watching for their gifts and investing in their gifts instead of just doing what so many of us do. I've been there too, where we're doing what everybody else is doing to fit in.
Right. And that doesn't mean if they don't like something, we shouldn't. I mean, there was a season where my daughter was super excited about the piano. And then there's a season where she really wanted to go play with her friends. But talking to her, I mean, I knew that passion had been there at the beginning, for one. And then her teacher says she just picks it up so naturally. She can go through the book twice as fast as other kids. I just knew there was something in it. So it doesn't mean just because they don't like it or they are getting bored with practice that they just give up. But yeah, that was the thing that we focus on with her. And so we did and do a lot of other things. So it's searching and saying, what are their gifts? What talents has God put in them? And then being okay with your kid not being the only one that didn't sign up to do the church play or something like that. I mean, it's okay if we say no to these other things.
That's good. That sounds like it takes a lot of grit. We talk about that a lot.
It does. And it gets easier. I mean, now I'm like, no, no. I mean, usually I have to pray and I'm like, oh, should we? Because I'm getting so much better about saying no that sometimes I'm like, oh, I really should pray about this. Maybe it is something God wants in our lives.
One particular section in your book where you were talking about how you had all of your Bible study books piled up, and you said, I opened one of my study books, I sensed God's spirit whisper, are you done learning about me and are you ready to connect to me? So what I was hoping you could do is unpack that for those of us who tend to live in our heads.
Yeah, and I love it. I could spend 2 hours in the morning if I had it and just read God's word and look up what this word means and look up these other scriptures. And I've never gone to seminary, so this is like my time on the couch with God, with some really good books. And there it does get a point where we just read more books and read more books. But then, you know, instead of just reading about loving your neighbor, there comes the point where God's saying, okay, are you going to do this? Are you going to follow me? And I really felt that that's what he was saying in the season, as I was studying all about how to do these things, but I wasn't doing it. And it came down to times where I said, okay, well, what do you want me to do? Like, what is going on? And so I'd pray, like, Lord, is there someone I was supposed to reach out to today? And he would put the name of maybe a couple on my mind. There's one couple in particular that we invited over for dinner, and they were just ripe for wanting to know more about God. They walked in the front door, and just within minutes, she was asking about church and what we believed. I mean, and that just came from me saying, God, who do you want me to reach out to today? It also, I started working with teen moms and mentoring them. And I still do it, it's every Thursday night. I go and work with a teen mom support group, and I'm tired when I go. I'm, you know, it's been a long day. I'm with kids all day. I just got dinner on the table for everyone. I'm heading out. And honestly, the idea of like staying home, turning on Netflix, watching the show, because I'm literally tired. But then I get there and I start pouring out and I start seeing their needs, which are so much bigger than anything I worry about. And then loving on them, I leave there so filled because God is able to flow through me to them. And so I think that's what it's about. It's about pausing and saying, okay, I've read about what to do. I've read about you and your word, how you are there and you want us to comfort others. Now give me the strength to do it. And even when we're tired, even when we don't feel like we have the right words. You know, God talks about he gives us the words when we need them. And all of a sudden these words are flowing out and it's just what someone needs to hear. And so being willing to do that is a huge step.
Now, I'm one of the people that's in our audience that's called a highly sensitive person. And I tend to have a smaller capacity than the average person. And this is something that's kind of new to me. I just learned about it in about last 4 to 5 years. And it explains a lot of my life. But now I'm kind of faced with this dilemma of, okay, it's good to know I'm an HSP, but I also don't want it to be an excuse. Reading through your book, you started a crisis pregnancy center. You work with teen moms. You've adopted, how many children have you adopted?
We've adopted seven.
Seven children, not one, not two. Seven
My
children.
My mouth just dropped open for those of you that can't see us.
And I read this and, you know, I see you on Facebook and this is going to seem so petty, but one day you were on Facebook and you were talking about the word count you had reached as a writer while on vacation with all of your kids and family in the same vehicle with you. And the first thought that came out of my head was, I could never do that. You know, there is just no way. I'm just not that kind of person. And I recognize that to be excuse making. So I'm guessing I'm not the only person who's ever told you, Tricia, I could never do that, whatever that might be. So how do you respond to people like us? Because I'm looking at you, you seem pretty normal to me. And, you know, reading your book, I know that all of this has come because God has led and given you the strength. And yet, wow, seven children and homeschooling 10. These are big things. Talk to those of us who find you, can I admit, a little bit scary?
I think that's what people said, you know, when they read Walk It Out, they're like, oh no, what is God going to ask me to do?
Yes.
And I think, you know, part of it is, you know, I share in the book 28 years of what God has done. So, you know, my oldest son is 28. So I have three adult kids. They're 28, 25, and 23. And sometimes it's easy to see what God has done over many, many years with someone and think that that is all going on. So like, I haven't worked in the pregnancy center in 10 years, you know, so I was able to get that up and going. Then God moved me over to working with the teen mom. So the center is up and running and they're doing ultrasounds. They're doing all these amazing things. I'm not involved in that anymore, but I was there at the beginning to help get it started. And our teen mom support group, you know, is one night a week where I'm there pouring into them. And, you know, the thing is that I've always had kids at home as a writer because as a teen mom, I had my third when I was 22. In fact, I attended my first writer's conference when I was 22 and pregnant with my third. And so I've always had kids at home. So it's either figure out how to do it or it's not done. Like there's no middle ground. There's no quiet time. My quiet time is really time with God in the morning with my Bible. But during the day, there's always kids around. So it's either I have to figure it out or I have to hire a babysitter, which costs money, or all these things, which still, I mean, I do hire babysitters at times. Today I'll have like 2 hours to myself to write. So there are things, but it's just trying to figure out what works. And I've learned through these seasons are of just being able to sit down and concentrate on my computer in front of me with all the noise in the background, because the noise isn't going to go away. And if I have a deadline, and just knowing that God is faithful, if he calls me to a project and I feel that passion inside, that he's going to make a way for me to do it. But really, I'm an introvert. I love quiet. And God has given me not only, we've adopted seven that are still at home. They're just 7 to 17, but a lot of them are very loud. So in that we have like 2 introverts and the other 5 are extroverts. And there's days I'm like, really, God? But I know it is. And so there's times, I mean, even before I got on the computer with you, they were all up eating breakfast. I'm like, I'm going to go in my room for 10 minutes and have some quiet and space to get my mind refocus before I get on this interview, because it's a lot. Just because something is hard doesn't mean God hasn't called us to it. And I found the hardest step is just that first step of saying, this is what God's called me to. And once I do it, he shows up and gives me the strength and gives me the peace and gives me the willingness to continue to follow him. And also what I've discovered with my kids is, you know, it's one thing for us to say, oh, we want our kids to grow up and follow God and love him with all their hearts and serve him. But we need to show them how it's done. And so they see, you know, they're in the other room right now. Hopefully they're being pretty good so far. But mommy's going to go talk to people and tell them about Jesus. Or when I travel and speak, I'll say, I'm going to go to this conference and mom's going to be gone, but I'm going to be going and telling them about Jesus. Or when I'm working on a book, when the books come in, I show them. Or we talk about things. We talk about what I'm writing about at the dinner table. And so they are involved in the process. So they see, okay, this is what it is to follow God, to give our lives to him. And so while it would be easy to hire a babysitter 40 hours a week and, you know, have all these things, my kids wouldn't be able to see me following God and walking out these steps. And so I think that's been really important to me.
You know, the other thing I really appreciated that you pointed out is that God didn't call you to adopt until your marriage was at a place and your own personal healing was at a place where your marriage could support this stress and strain of adoption. And you listed several other things where the chronology of how God called you to do things was preceded by healing or preparation or groundwork. And I think you pointed out that some of us tend to be all or nothing. At least that's, we talk about that a lot. Like, okay, we want to do this big thing for God, so we're big and huge and impulsive. And you just pointed out taking 10 minutes or taking the first step. I think that's huge. I think that's real important.
It does. It makes all the difference. And once you're willing to take that step, and then God will be there for the next step. Like, we don't have to think about step 5, 10, and 25. Like, we have to think of step 1 and know that tomorrow he'll show us step 2. And I think that's with anything, with writing, with raising kids. I mean, it's just the dailiness of it. I love that verse, God's mercies are new every morning. It's just the dailiness of getting up, doing the work, turning to God, being obedient to him, loving others, and then next day, repeat.
Terrific. So what would be a closing piece of encouragement as you visualize our listeners out there? What do you want to tell them to send them off on their day?
I would say that God wants not only you to impact your family, but there's a world out there that needs your impact. And maybe the world is across the street. Maybe it's your church or a neighborhood across town. But God has chosen, in the way he works, for us as weak humans to impact the world around us. And so sometimes we're so fearful, like we're going to mess up. But if God is asking us to do something, he's not going to leave us behind. It's not like, oh, go adopt these kids and go talk to these teen moms and have fun doing it and, you know, go on with your good self or whatever. But really, he's like, no, I want you to do this and I am there. I've already prepared it for you. I've already prepared the message and those who need to hear it. I just need you to be willing to take this first step. And so many times when we think about our calling or we think about our gifting and we think about it's one thing and God's saying, yes, it is that. But also there's someone else maybe across the street that needs to hear about me too. And that's part of your calling. So that's just my encouragement today.
Great challenge.
Tricia, you also have a quiz on your website that's associated with your book. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, on my website, I have a quiz just about finding your purpose and what is your purpose and how are you seeking God? Are you willing to take the steps? And then after they go through the quiz, I send a little email that talks about, you know, next steps that they can take to finding their purpose.
Yeah, I had fun taking that last night. Amy and I are quiz people.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So we'll put the link to that in our show notes. Tricia, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. You've given us a lot to think about and talk about and do.
Yes.
Head on over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode 87.
You'll find the transcript to our interview today, this week's Digging Deeper download, Bible verse art, and you'll have a chance to enter to win a giveaway of Walk It Out.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Grit and Grace, we would love for you to leave us a review on iTunes. If you go to the webpage for the episode, you'll find a link that'll take you straight there.
Join us again next week when we'll be processing together what we learned from Tricia.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it. I set a timer 15 minutes ago, turned off my heater, like off. It kicked off, and then it kicked back on 5 minutes ago. And I pulled the little chain that in 2 to 3 minutes it's supposed to turn itself off. So I will have to, we're just going to deal with it.
Demon-possessed heater.
Oh my gosh, I swear it is.